God today. Hallelujah. For blessing us. Hallelujah. Waking us up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today. Hallelujah. Because it's the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice. Won't we rejoice? We're going to be glad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even while we're going through. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead on and rejoice. Hallelujah. And worship him today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank God for all that has gone on so far. Hallelujah. I bless God for every participant. I thank God for the strength that you all, everyone, has displayed as we continue to go through this tough time. We know that God is with us, and we just want to continue to do his will in the midst of all that we are going through. We're going to continue, praise God, with what we had started on last week. I don't know why the Lord is just continuing to press upon me to continue to talk about treasures. Praise God. And God knows what he's doing. He makes no mistakes. Hallelujah. He's teaching us something. Now, last week I referenced Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. But it's been laid on my heart to continue to talk about this subject coming from another scripture. And I'm going to read it to you. It is in Luke chapter 10. And it starts at verse 25. And I'm going to read the whole passage through. And then I will speak whatever it is that the Lord will have for us today. It's a lot of information. When you have Luke chapter 10 and verse 25, say amen. 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 Praise God. In verse 25, it starts and it reads like this. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answered, saying, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said to him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself unto Jesus, said unto him, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?" And he said, "He that sheweth mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Amen. We're continuing to talk about treasures. Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, we just come in the name of Jesus, thanking and praising you for your word, Lord God, and for everything that you are doing and have done. We ask you now, Lord God, that you would just be with me and with the congregation as we, Lord, look to sup with you concerning this word, Lord God. We want what you want, God. We want to live the way you want us to live, Lord God. We eat, sleep, and breathe you, God, and we want all that you have for us. We ask you now that you would just move me out of the way, Lord God. Hallelujah, God, just fill me, Lord God. Lord God, just help us right now. Cover us with your blood and forgive us for all our sins, even now, Lord God. Thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Treasure. On last week, we just spoke briefly about treasures and what is a treasure. And we looked at the Greek, and I was telling everyone that the word treasure comes from the Greek word thesaurus, which means deposit. And in the passage on last week, we just briefly spoke about the fact that where your treasure is or your deposit, there will your heart be also. What exactly does a treasure mean, other than the fact that we know it's a deposit? How can we put that so that we get it here in life with all of the busyness that's going on? We have so much to do. We have to get up in the morning. We have to go to work. We have to put the children on the bus or whatever we have to do. Then we have to go to work, and we have to do what we have to do there. And then we have to come home. We have to get dinner, and we've got to go to this sport event, that sport event. Then we've got to get ready for bed, get up the next day, do it all over again. And then other occasions come up, and you've got to squeeze those in. And all the while, so much is going on, and there's so much need everywhere, and it can be so overwhelming. And you might not just quite understand or know what to do. What exactly is your treasure? A treasure. Yes, it's a deposit. But there's another way of looking at it. I like to say that it is a cause for the kingdom of God, funded by the resources God has given unto mankind. Jesus shows us this in another passage where he talks to a rich person. The rich person comes to him, the young man, and he asked the same question that this lawyer asked, and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know the commandment." He talked about the commandments with this young man too, and Jesus said, "Thou knowest the commandment." He said to the man, "Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness." He said, "Defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And the young man said, "I do those things. I have that part together." He said, "I've observed those things since my youth." Then Jesus told him, "You lack one thing," he said. He said, "Go and sell whatever you have." That's what he told them. "Give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come take up your cross then and follow me." But what was that man's response? He didn't go and joyfully sell all that he had. He didn't do that. You know what he did? He got real sad. The Bible says that he got grieved and he went away because he had much possessions. He had great possessions. They meant more to him than the kingdom of God and the things that needed to be done. His heart was with the temporal things of this life. Jesus then tells us, after that man walked away, that it is hard for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So I say to you again that treasure, it is a cause for the kingdom of God, funded by the resources God has given to mankind. That rich man had resources, and Jesus showed him a cause He showed him how that he should help the poor. He gave them this cause and laid it in his face. But the young man wasn't ready for that kind of kingdom work. The rich man was asked to take his resources and give it to the poor. In the story here that we have read today in the passage here in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is again talking to another person, a lawyer, a person who probably did have quite a bit of money, because lawyers tend to make good money, even back then. And he asked the same question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, being the wonderful person that he is, he talked to the lawyer like you would talk to a lawyer. First, he talked to the rich man like you would talk to a rich man. He talked to him about possessions. But when he talked to the lawyer, he talked to the lawyer and said, well, what is written in the law? He talked lawyer ease to him. Right? He didn't ask him about his possessions. He asked him, you're a lawyer. What's in the law? What do you know? And then, what was the answer? He answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He answered his own question. But you know, the lawyer went further, and he got a little smart with Jesus. And he said, who is my neighbor? He posed that question to Jesus, and Jesus so wonderfully answered him back by telling us the story that we all call the Good Samaritan. He told us a story that let us know what was close to the heart of God. He showed us what exactly a neighbor is. And in so doing, he also showed us where real treasure is once again. He showed us a good neighbor operating in love. I want to point out a couple of things to you in the story and background. The first thing is that there was a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was just going along his daily life. And then something happened to him, something bad. There were three kinds of people that came past. There was a priest that came past. There was a Levite that came past. And then there was a Samaritan that came past. The first person was the priest. The priest saw the wounded person, and he went to the other side. And we can wonder, why did Jesus use him as an example? I believe that when you look at that, it tells you a lot. This was a person whose whole entire life was dedicated to serving God. He knew what to do at church. He knew how to come into the synagogue and teach and pray and talk to the people about what was in the Torah. He understood the ways of God from the book. But somehow, when he was faced with it on the outside of the church, he wasn't able to translate it into doing for God. Somehow the words didn't jump off the page. Somehow, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, didn't compute. And he was able to leave a fellow countryman on the side of the road and walk away and continue in his religiosity. We don't want to be a people like that. We're not people like that here at Love United, as we all know. We're living it right now. That priest, ironically, it was his job, and all he had to do was serve God all day. And in that day, I found it interesting as I researched it. The priest basically had a status in society where they were kind of like politicians. So they lived off the taxpayers' dollar. All he had to do was do whatever God wanted, and he missed it on the way to his religiosity. The second person was a Levite. Another religious person, very religious. This person was dedicated to the things of God as well. But they were from the tribe of Levi that was designated to the oracles of God in the Old Testament. They're the ones that brought the sacrifices and sacrificed for the people. The Levite was also able to walk on the other side in his religiosity. And he lived off the tithe of the people. All he had to do was serve God, because the people of God took care of him. And somehow, once again, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. He had all of that with him. But somehow he couldn't love his neighbor as himself. And he walked to the other side. But then there was another person. There was this Samaritan. These were outcasts of the Jewish sect. Many believed that these actually were Jews, but they just had removed themselves, because for some reason they felt that their worship was far superior to the other Jews that were around. If you read the story of the woman at the well, you get a glimpse of that, because she even tried to tell Jesus that, you know, they worship in Mount Gerizim. That's the where you're supposed to worship. But then, of course, Jesus corrected that. And he said, no, they that worship me, we're going to worship God. You should worship him in spirit and in truth. He corrected that. But this particular Samaritan, though he had a difference in religious beliefs and he should not have been associating with this man that was from Jerusalem on his way to Jericho, he stopped. Because suddenly he got something. He understood that it was a human being. He got past the differences, the religious background, and whatever else in the world might have been going on with this stranger. And he was able to stop what he was doing and lean down and help this person. I want to talk about this person as we learn about treasures. This Samaritan person. And why he was a good neighbor. The first thing was, is that he was available to God. This Samaritan, I'm sure, was busy too, but God could interrupt his day. God could say, you know what? There's somebody over there that needs something. I need you to stop what you're doing and help them. How many of us are available like that? I know I'm a schedule person, and you know, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do all day. I can tell you, and I can line it up for you and explain it to you and tell you how come I need to do it exactly like that at that time. And I don't like when somebody comes in and starts telling me, oh, no, I need you over here and there. I start getting stressed out. I do it, but I get stressed out. And you know, I've been in managerial nursing for several years now, so I would have that schedule. And I can tell you most days that schedule got all messed up. And I hated it because I would be trying to get reports done and review doctor's orders and mentor this nurse and go see about that patient. And somebody would always call and just interrupt my day. But one thing I found out, once I got a reputation anywhere I was, I found out that people were talking to me because they wanted to hear what I had to say about God or whatever it might be. And they also, a lot of times, just wanted me to pray with them. So I had to come out of what I thought I was at work for, because I can't take any of those doctor's orders with me when I leave here. They're going to stay here. They're going to get burned up, you know, because we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. I was stuck on all that stuff. And I remember one day when I first started in this time, this kind of work, it was several years ago, and I was doing something. I was like, oh, I got all this work to do. And the Lord told me, he said, you know what? He said, you're not here for the paperwork. He told me that. So I changed my focus. I still have my schedule, but I understand that at any point in my day, I might not get to do some of the things that I think are very important that day. That God's priority has to be my priority. And what he wants is what I want in a day. That's how it's got to be. And I understand that now. When Daddy died, our whole world changed. And priorities had to change. And those who I was helping him to take care of became more in front of me than they were. And I had to help. And it's okay. I don't mind God interrupting my day. It's tough on me sometimes, but it's got to be done. People need help. They get flat tires. They get hurt. They break bones. And we have to stop what we're doing to love them for a minute. That's what we do. That's what we learned from our shepherd, our late shepherd. We learned that. And they were on their anniversary, my mom and dad. Just a few short weeks ago, I didn't want to call them. I didn't want to bother them. But they allowed me to interrupt their day to come get me when I had a flat tire. That's love. That's what happens when you're filled with the love of God. I thank God for that. Remember in your occupations and in your daily work, when you see someone that really needs you and you know that you can offer anything kingdom worthy, please stop what you're doing and help them. It has lasting value in the kingdom. God is telling you that. When you read these scriptures, all those people were busy, but only one person was willing to stop their busy schedule to help. Let's be like that. Another thing that we learn from this Samaritan is that he did what he could. In the next verse, it says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He did what he could. He bound him up. He set him on his beast. He took him to the inn. He did what he could with the wound. He helped out. God only asks us to help out in our situation. And whatever that is, do it. If it's in your power to do good, what does the word of God say? Do it. You can do it, whatever that might be. If someone needs $100 and you have five, give the five. Don't say, no, I don't have 100. Say, I have five. I have five I can share. I can give you five. And then I'm going to see if anybody else has some fives until we get to 100. That's far better than turning them away and say, you be all right. God bless you. I'm praying for you. And don't even give them the first five. Right? Do what you can. Don't get overwhelmed by what you see in the circumstance. Do what you can. Does that make sense? Because a lot of times we miss the opportunity for a blessing because we're thinking about the whole entire thing. Right? If somebody needs $1 million, we say, well, I don't have $1 million, but you might have 10. And if you put it on social media, you'll get the million. Because one person is going to tell the next person. And then the next person is going to tell the next person. And you're going to have it. The building we left from, what happened? We needed thousands. And in 3 weeks, we got it. Because one person told the next person. And then the next person told the next person. If you have a sick loved one and you're not nursey, find a nurse. You do the errands. If you can't put them in your house, put them in someone else's house. Come by and see them. Whatever it is that you can do. But doing nothing is never good enough. Just do something. Just do what you can do and stick to it. Be real about it and change people's lives. You can't do it all, but do what you can do and move along. The last point which I got into is after he took him to the inn, he said, the Bible verse in verse 35 says, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. After he did what he could, he found somebody else who could do the rest. That's what we do. First, we're available. Then we do what we can do. And then we find somebody that can help us do the rest. That's kingdom work. We can't do it all. If we decide to help someone in Africa, we all can't go to Africa. But we can do what we can. And then somebody in Africa can do the rest. I was listening to a story this morning on the radio where a young lady, she was in college. I thought this was such a great treasure story because she was in college now, and she went to Africa to try to just do what she had to do for college credit. But when she got there, her whole world changed because she bumped into some orphans that were in a place where they were being abused and they were being hurt and they weren't being well taken care of. She knew by herself all she could do was just be sad about it. But she was available. That was the first thing. And her name was Andrea. She was available to the children. She cared. That's what she could do. But the thing that she did to get it done, you know what she did? She forgot about college, which is very admirable. I don't know if I could do that because I'm a bookworm. But she did it. And she went to the government, and she fussed, and she fussed, and she fought until the government heard her. She got the orphanage shut down. And she was given the authority to open up another orphanage where the children would be loved and cared for. And now this young lady named Andrea, who did what she could and got others to help where she couldn't, is now running an orphanage in Africa, helping over 150 children a day. There's no question that that young lady is pleasing God, that her treasure is in the right place. It's in an awesome place because she understands what's important in life. Does that mean that we can't have some of the things we want? No, it doesn't mean that. But my God, what a great, great thing to pour yourself into something that matters in heaven because it really counts there. It really counts. This Samaritan got that. This Samaritan was available. He did what he could, and then he got somebody else to help where he could not until the help came. And I thank God for that. So yes, this Samaritan was a neighbor, and he had his treasures in the right place. He understood what it meant to be a real neighbor and to love God. He understood the dynamic between what he may have wanted to do and what God wanted, and he found the balance. He still had to go on his way, He still had to go do whatever it is that he does in life, but he found a way to do what God wanted as well. And I thank God for this story. Treasures, I want everybody to take the time over the next couple of weeks to understand that in sharing with the vision of Al Pastor and what he had wanted to do, we are going to be a church who is full of people who are bound and determined to lay up a tremendous amount of treasures in heaven. We do have a lot to do, and we want to establish so much, but we will remember to establish ourselves as a church that has kingdom treasures. We'll be working towards so many causes in the name of Jesus, and I thank God for that. I know that deep down inside each and every one of you, there's something that burns. Somewhere in the world where you want to help, and I'm trusting God that it will birth forth and it will be what it is supposed to be in the name of Jesus. Is everybody willing to do that? Is everybody available to God? Say, I'm available. Say, God, I'm available. I want to do your work. Hallelujah. I'm going to do what I can do. Say that. I'm going to do what I can do. And then I'm going to ask others to help me with the rest. Say, God, I'm available to you. I'm going to do what I can do. And I'm going to ask others to help me with the rest. Is that okay? We thank God for treasures today. Amen.